I wanted to reach through the bars and touch the vein with the blood rushing through it, but I didn't do that either. "Are you writing in your notebook?" he asked, his face and voice suddenly, oddly desperate. I looked at him and nodded. In the next cell, the boy, Jackson, made a noise, a kind of catcall, that caused the moment to seem silly and cheap. Zack shot him an angry look. "Come on, you've had your 5 minutes," the policeman said. August placed her hand on my back, nudging me to leave. Zack seemed as if he wanted to ask me something. He opened his mouth and closed it. "I'll write this all down for you," I said. "I'll put it in a story." I don't know if that's what he wanted to ask me, but it's something everybody wants, for someone to see the hurt done to them and set it down like it matters. We went around not bothering to smile, even in front of May. When she was in the room, we didn't talk about Zack, but we didn't act like the world was fine and rosy either. June resorted to her cello, the way she always did when sorrow came along. And walking to the honey house one morning, August stopped and stared at the tire ruts in the driveway left by Zack's car. The way she stood there, I thought she might start to cry. Everything I did felt heavy and difficult, drying the dishes, kneeling for evening prayers, even pulling down the sheets to get into bed. On the second day of the month of August, after the supper dishes were washed up and the Hail Marys had been done, August said, "No more moping tonight. We're going to watch Ed Sullivan." And that's what we were doing when the phone rang. To this day, August and June wonder how our lives would have been different if one of them had answered the phone instead of May. I remember that August made a move to answer it, but May was closest to the door. "I'll get it," she said. No one thought a thing about it. We fixed our eyes on the television, on Mr. Sullivan, who introduced a circus act involving monkeys that rode tiny scooters across the high wire. When May stepped back into the room a few minutes later, her eyes zigzagged from face to face. "That was Zack's mother," she said. "Why didn't you tell me about him getting put in jail?" She looked so normal standing there. For a moment, none of us moved. We watched her like we were waiting for the roof to cave in. But May just stood there, calm as she could be. I started thinking maybe some sort of miracle had taken place and she'd somehow gotten cured. "You all right?" said August, easing to her feet. May didn't answer. "May?" June said. I even smiled over at Rosalina and nodded, as if to say, "Can you believe how well she's taking this?" August, though, turned off the television and studied May, frowning. May's head was angled to the side, and her eyes were fixed on a cross-stitched picture of a birdhouse that hung on the wall. It struck me all of a sudden that her eyes weren't actually seeing the picture. They had glazed completely over. August went over to May. "Answer me, are you all right?" In the silence, I heard May's breathing grow loud and a little ragged. She took several steps backward until she came to the wall. Then she slid down onto the floor without making a sound. I'm not sure when it sank in that May had gone off to some unreachable place inside herself. Even August and June didn't realize it right away. They called her name like she'd only lost her hearing. Rosaline bent over May and spoke in a loud voice, trying to get through to her.
"Zack is gonna be all right. You don't need to worry any. Mr. Forrest is getting him out of jail on Wednesday."
May stared straight ahead like Rosaline wasn't even there.
"What's happened to her?" June asked, and I could hear a note of panic in her voice. "I've never seen her like this."
May was here, but not here. Her hands lay limp in her lap, palms up. No sobbing into her dress skirt, no rocking back and forth, no pulling at her braids. She was so quiet, so different. I turned my face to the ceiling. I just couldn't watch. August went to the kitchen and came back with a dish towel filled with ice. She pulled May's head to her so it rested against her shoulder for a minute, Then she lifted her sister's face and pressed the towel to May's forehead and temples and along her neck. She kept on doing this for several minutes, then put the cloth down and tapped May's cheeks with her hands. May blinked a time or two and looked at August. She looked at all of us, huddled above her, as if she were returning from a long trip.
"You feel better?" said August.
May nodded.
"I'll be okay."
Her words came out in an odd monotone.
"Well, I'm glad to see you can talk," said June. "Come on, let's get you in the bathtub."
August and June pulled May to her feet.
"I'm going to the wall," May said.
June shook her head. "It's getting dark."
"Just for a little while," May said.
She moved into the kitchen, with all of us following after her. She opened a cabinet drawer, took out a flashlight, her tablet, a stub of a pencil, and walked onto the porch. I pictured her writing it down, "Zach in jail," and pushing it into a crevice in the wall. I felt somebody should personally thank every rock out there for the human misery it had absorbed. We should kiss them one by one and say, "We are sorry, but something strong and lasting had to do this for May, and you are the chosen ones. God bless your rock hearts."
"I'll go with you," said August.
May spoke over her shoulder.
"No, please, August, just me."
August started to protest.
"But just me," said May, turning to face us. "Just me."
We watched her go down the porch steps and move into the trees. In life, there are things you can't get over, no matter how hard you try, and that sight is one of them. May, walking into the trees with the little circle of light bobbing in front of her, then swallowed up by the dark. A bee's life is but short. During spring and summer, the most strenuous periods of foraging, a worker bee, as a rule, does not live more than 4 or 5 weeks. Threatened by all kinds of dangers during their foraging flights, many workers die before they have reached even that age. The Dancing Bees.